This is actually one of his biggest problems, because what these Ingrams do, they stick him on the time track. He has a lot of attention there on that one particular incident. He doesn't know exactly what happened, but he knows that something did, and ever since then he's had a headache. Or then his mama dies, or his daddy dies, or his best dog or something, and from then on he thinks about that. He has a little bit of attention stuck on each one of his little incidents. Now, one of the things you could use to explain this is attention units. Now, let's say that just for arbitrary reasons, we'll say that a Satan has 100 attention units. Whenever he's all perfect and he's all complete, everything else, he has 100 attention units. Now, he goes along and he's a small boy and he gets banged on the head with a bat. It knocks him out and he loses 3 or 4 attention units there. He's got himself an Ingram. And he goes along a little further in life, and then he loses the big game at school. And big secondary, and he's all sad, and everybody's booing him because he missed the basket or something. And so he gets a little more of his attention unit stuck there. And then from then on, when he's a little tired, he sees a baseball game, or he sees a basketball game, or he smells popcorn, and he gets about 1 attention unit stuck there. So as he goes through life, starts off very high tone, very cheerful, a lot of high affinity, a lot of good communication. You ever see a little boy? I mean, your little child, doesn't have to be a boy, a girl, whatever. They're very much in communication. They're so much in communication, they'll reach right out and put their hand on a hot stove. They're not afraid of anything. And then you look at them later, maybe 70 years later, they're really old and they don't see very well anymore, and they're kind of crabby and they don't want to hear about fun, and they haven't skipped in 50 years and they're not about to run anywhere. Well, this is simply because when he started out as a child, he had lots of free attention units. He could put them on anything. He could be a cloud or a dragon, or he could be a horseman, or he could ride a stick and turn it into the world's most wonderful charger. But then as he goes along through life, through these Ingrams and locks and secondaries, he gets less and less of his attention unit free, more and more of it stuck in this unconscious mind that he doesn't know about and he can't do anything about. So eventually he winds up losing so much of his free theta, or his life force, that he just dies and they bury the body and that's it for him. Now, here comes an auditor. Now, an auditor is another term I'll define. Audit means basic to listen, from the like auditory canal, which is your listening canal. But audit means to listen. Now, an auditor is not only a listener, he actually tells the client or the pre-clear. I'll back up a little bit here. Pre-clear is somebody that has this reactive mind. When this reactive mind is gone, we have a technical term for it called clear, and it comes from just adding machine or computer technology. Whenever you have a stack of numbers and you hit the clear button, then it clears it. I will go a little bit more into this analytical and reactive mind. Now, the analytical mind, or the Satan, is a perfect computer. He is a perfect computer. It does not make a mistake. You say, how can that be? Well, I see people make mistakes all of the time. Well, they make mistakes because they have the wrong data. They have things in the reactive mind that are added into all of their calculations that they don't know about. Now, let's say that you took an adding machine or something and you went inside it with a little piece of wire and you wired down a 7. So every time that you did any kind of a calculation, this number is going to be wired down and you don't know about it. So you add 1 and 1 and you get 9. You add 1 and 5 and you get 7. It just doesn't know what's going on here. Then you could even give it away. They'll say, no, I don't want that. It makes mistakes. It's no good. Well, not really, because it is calculating perfectly on the data that is put into it. You just don't know that there's a wired down 7. And the reactive mind is sort of like that. A person will sit there and he'll go on in great lengths and tell you why he don't like red-headed women and how they're all no good and they're all going to cheat you or destroy you or this or that or the other thing. Or somebody else will tell you, the reason that they have a weight problem is because they were scared when they were a little kid, and so now they're eating to get rid of it, or somebody else will tell you the reason that their love life fails is for this reason or the other reason. In fact, these people are actually just dramatizing something straight out of the reactive mind. Now, if we go back to our little fish or our amoeba back in the sea, back early on the time track, we would look at this little analytical mind or this little calculating mind of this little fish, and he knows that he sees a certain kind of moss or algae or something. He knows that shrimp go around there, and he knows he likes to eat shrimp. So he performs his calculation, and sure enough, he finds a little bed of shrimp, and then he's able to eat them. He has a rudimentary mind. He can distinguish between differences, similarities, and identities with his analytical mind. He's able to compute accurately on the data that he's given. Now, all of a sudden, he's got this Ingram of the big fish biting him, and now the big fish biting him is equal to yellow sand. And so from now on, that guy's going to kind of avoid anything with yellow sand. And he will probably tell his other little fish buddies, well, you know, I just don't like yellow sand. You know, it just doesn't appeal to me. The fishing's not as good over there as it is over here. Well, he'll go ahead and try to explain away the things, why he's avoiding some things or why he feels compelled to do some things. You see this a lot in alcoholic families and abusive families and things like this. You know, the bill man gets dumped and beat up the wife and kids, and the next day he's all horribly sorry and everything else, and they're all, he just doesn't understand why he did that. I don't understand why I did it, and goes right back, thinks again, goes unconscious, and he displays this tape recording over and over and over. Well, chances are he had those exact words in some kind of an Ingram somewhere down the time track, somewhere in the past. And whenever he approaches the particular incident, you know, here's a woman standing there yelling at him for something, and this thing kicks in, and he displays this little recording. Well, back early on time track, this was actually a survival thing. Because whenever you experience pain, then the body just automatically moved out of that area. You've probably had this happen to you. Maybe you've raised up under a cupboard, or ran into a door frame or an open door, or got kind of conked in the head a little bit, and then found yourself 10 or 15 feet away, scrabbling, trying to get away. And you don't have any idea how you got there. Well, that's what happened. You got stunned for a little bit. You got knocked out just for a couple seconds. And this reactive mind kicked in and got the body out of danger. And this is to save the analytical mind. Now, the analytical mind, you could look at like a perfect computer. It does not make a mistake. On the data that it's given, it will not make a mistake. It computes perfectly every single time. So this analytical mind is very sensitive to pain. It will not take much pain. And the reactive mind, however, is built to run on pain. It's built to run on pain and unconsciousness. Now, we can liken the analytical mind to a computer. Let's say that it runs on 9 volts. It's very critical that it stays between 7 and 9 volts. And if you have a very expensive computer, and you have some chance of a high voltage hitting it, you don't want to destroy your computer, so what you're going to do is put a fuse in it. Well, that's basically what the body is a mobile computer. The mind is a switchboard, and you're just kind of taking this little computer along with you, and it's got fingers and legs and arms and things, and you do stuff with it. Well, as soon as you get into a lot of pain, it wouldn't do the organism any good at all. If it's the minute that it stubbed its toe, it fried the computer, and then it died. So, through evolution, one of the things that was developed is this reactive mind. And it's made to run on heavy pain. So, whenever it gets knocked out, or the organism gets a conk on the head, or suffers some trauma that makes it go unconscious, this reactive mind, this very heavy, heavy-duty mind, comes into play, and it kicks in, and it moves the organism out of the dangerous area, and then it shuts off, and the analytical mind comes back on. The guy goes, well, I don't know what happened. The last thing I remember is that I saw some lightning, and the next thing I knew, I wake up in a hospital. Well, that whole time, all of that whole incident was recorded in this reactive mind. And then whenever that situation is approached again, he's going to dramatize whatever was in it. Well, this is a natural protective mechanism of the mind. The reactive mind is set to, once you get a large shock, a lot of trauma, something like that, it'll take the body completely out of the dangerous area, and then it turns back, or it turns off, and the analytical mind turns back on, and then the person's in control of himself again. And about this time, you're probably wondering, well, what does this have to do with ARC and the Thetan and so forth? Well, actually, if we look at the Thetan as being ARC, up at the top end of it, he would be very cheerful, he would be enthusiastic about things, he would have a good attitude about life, he would trust other people, he would be able to handle situations easily. And as you get lower and lower towards death, he goes through anger and apathy, and finally he just don't care anymore, and anything will happen to him he doesn't care about. Well, this is what's happening as he gets more engrams and less of his life force is available to him. His computer is gradually shutting down. If anybody's very familiar with computer stuff, you can have a lot of memory and you only have a few programs, and it runs very fast, just blistering fast. Well, pretty soon you start running enough programs in the background, and running a simple adding one and one together takes 5 minutes. That's basically what's happened to the person. He had a lot of computing power, for example, whenever he was a child. He had a lot of free attention units. He didn't have any engrams, no locks, no secondaries, you know, other than being born and a couple things like that. But now as he goes through life, you know, he smashes his finger, he breaks his leg, he has a skiing accident, you know, somebody pokes him in the eye with a pencil when he's little, his mama whips him, he has a car wreck, he wrecks his motorcycle, horse kicks him. He just goes on through life with these little mistakes, little errors, and each one of these things turn off his analytical mind a little more, and a little more, and a little more, until finally it's shut down so much that the person is near death, and it will actually take him towards death. This sort of explains why some people, you'll see them, you know, they're 50, 55, 60 years old, and they're about ready to die. They just barely creep around, they're all sick, they're falling apart. And you see somebody else, you know, they're 85, 90 years old, and they're out there dancing and lifting women and doing all kinds of things. And what's the difference between the one guy that's almost dead at 50 and another guy that's just barely alive at 80? Simply put, it's the amount of engrams and locks and secondaries that they have accumulated over their lifetime. Now, what auditing does, we'll back up just a little bit. Now, let's say that we've got this analytical and this reactive mind, and we can say that the reactive mind has got a whole bunch of little sevens wired down in it. In fact, it's got a lot of little computations and little things that are held down, they're uninspected, you can't see them, the analytical mind cannot see them because they're unconscious. Basically, you've got a computer full of data that's not even got anything to do with present time. It's all old past incidents, and they are A equals A equals A, you know, the wall equals a bat, equals a pain on the head, equals a popcorn, equals a computer screen. The person cannot look at this data, they can't sort this data out, they don't know what's going on with it. Their computer is basically just shut down. And when they eventually die, like I said, then it shuts down completely and then the body decomposes. Well, the Thetan himself will go on. I mean, he never dies. He's not located in time anyway, so he can't possibly die. The only thing he can do is decide that he will forget. Now, he can forget a lot of things, and he comes back into the next lifetime as a fresh little boy or a fresh little girl, and his computer is all turned on again and everything's all bright and happy, and then he starts the whole thing over and over and over again. Now, whether or not you believe that you lived before makes very little difference. As you start cleaning up the present lifetime and you start getting your memory straight and you start recovering some of these unconscious incidents, you realize more and more and more that there is something earlier than these things. Now, one of the laws of the time track and of auditing, which is addressing a person and clearing them of all of these unconscious mistakes that they're making. You can say that guy's computer is all jammed up, and whenever you get it all unjammed and all of the data straight, he's clear. just like you have an adding machine, you clear the total of one calculation before you go trying to calculate the next one. So that's what a pre-clear is. It's somebody that through the process of auditing and finding out about himself and life more and more, and he's actually clearing this this unconscious mind and these reactive Ingrams and things. And auditing is a process of getting the person to look at his time track, look at some of these incidents, and actually erase them. Now, some people will say, well, you know, I already know what happened to me. The reason why I can't talk is because blah, blah, blah. Well, this is not true. See, because the exact truth of something will cause its banishment. This is part of the axioms of Scientology. I won't go into them right now. But if you look at something exactly like it really is, it'll vanish. One of the mechanisms you can see that perhaps whenever you've told one of your friends about, you know, the trouble that you had or how bad your day was, you'll feel a little better. The reason why is because you actually looked at the thing. You looked at the incident. You looked at that picture. See, if you're telling something that happened 10 minutes ago, it's in the past. All it is a picture. That's all it is a picture. Unfortunately, these reactive pictures have force in them. They have all of the original pain and the incidents, and they can affect the person very badly and very quickly. But basically, clearing a person is just getting them to address these painful incidents until they run them all out, and at that point, you have cleared the computer, and you should be able to make rational decisions based on correct data, and his life will go a whole lot better. Now, the reason that this occurs is a couple things. One of them is two-way communication in this universe tends to erase things. Part of it is because the person is looking at it, and then he tells the auditor what he saw, and then it disappears for him. Now, one of the laws is that you'll find out whenever you study Dianetics, the laws of Ingrams and secondaries and so forth, is that if something does not erase, in other words, if you're looking at a painful incident, you went through it two or three times, and it's not getting lighter, it's not erasing, it's not starting to go away, there is always an earlier incident. There always, always, always is an earlier incident. This is a law of auditing. Something late will not erase. In order to erase something completely, you have to get the very first time that it ever happened. So a person will sit here and tell you, well, the reason that I hate red-haired women is because I used to be married to a red-haired, and she made my life miserable, and so I don't like them anymore. Well, if that was true, he would no longer be reactive about red-haired women. Basically, all he's told you about is a lock or something recent that's in his memory. It might have been a secondary. Maybe he was very upset about getting his divorce or something else. But invariably, you'll run it back, and you will find out that he was unconscious for some reason. There was something red around. Maybe there was some hair around. It doesn't have to be a red-headed woman. He could have been watching a red ball and got conked in the head with a red ball, and somebody says, look at the hair on that ball. Now he's got a red hair ball, you know, and a head is sort of round, so that's a ball. And everything in there equals everything. And it doesn't make a bit of sense. There's no use trying to understand it. It is no sense in this reactive mind. One thing equals the other thing equals the other thing equals the other thing. You run that back, and sure enough, he was hit in the head with something, or he was got his foot cut off or something, and you'll run it back. Sooner or later, he'll be a caveman or something like that, and there'll be somebody red-haired around, and maybe trading badly, and he decides, I'll never trust red-haired people again. And now you've got this complication that he doesn't like red-haired women in present time. Well, as you can see, he'll say, yeah, that's all my problem, red-haired women. But it'll never go away, and it won't go away until he finally gets down to the basic on this Ingram chain, discovers what caused it, and then it'll all erase. Usually this is, not usually, always, this is a great source of relief to the person. They'll laugh and laugh. I've seen people laugh for days whenever they finally get down to one of these Ingrams. At the time, it's very, very serious. You know, it's a horrible, horrible thing. They don't want to look at it. Oh, it's got so much pain in it. But they'll go through this three or four or five or a dozen times, and it'll erase. And then all of these incidents in between the very first time and then and present time will all just erase. Now every one of these little attention units that he has stuck in these englums and locks and secondaries now become available to his computer. So he gets smarter, he gets faster, he gets brighter, he gets more and more cheerful, he's happier about things, life is good for him, and it continues to go up the tone scale. He's more there, he has higher affinity, he has better reality, he can communicate better, and he understands more. Now, exactly how do we go about resolving these unconscious pictures, this reactive mind? How do we sort this thing out? Well, one of the things that you do, you find something that's bothering the person, and he'll say, oh, I have trouble with my multiplication tables. And you find out there's any kind of pain or sensation or unwanted feeling or discomfort or unconsciousness that's connected with whatever the incident is. And he says, oh, yes, well, you know, I have sore fingers. Every time that I do blah, 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 my fingers start to hurt. And you let him tell you all about that, and you say, okay, fine, that's good. You know, now is an earlier similar time of sore fingers. So, well, yeah, actually, you know, I used to cook a lot, and I burned my hand on a stove once, and everybody laughed at me. And say, okay, fine, is there an earlier time? And he'll go, yes, yes, you know, when I was a small child, my hand was slammed in a door. I remember that very well, and where my fingers were sore for a long time. And you just continue to run it on down. Well, you're going to run it back to some place, and maybe whenever he was 3 years old and he reached out of his crib and pulled the TV off and just smashed his hand big time. And that was the basic incident. Mama comes running in and says, oh my God, he's going to die, he's going to die. So from then on, this command phrase is in there. Every time he gets sore fingers, he thinks he's going to die, and he feels real bad, and you know, find him in present time wearing gloves for everything and washing his hands 15 times a day, and he'll go ahead and tell you all about germs and how he got to keep his hands clean. And until he runs back to that Ingram and finds out that he did smash his hand and his mom told him he was going to die, in the reactive mind anyway, that's what's going to happen. And now all of a sudden he's not afraid of germs anymore, and his fingers don't hurt. And he thinks that's the funniest thing in the world. He wastes half of his life washing his hands for the wrong reason. It's very funny, and this gets called a line charge. It just means it's this line of Ingram's locks and secondaries. They have a lot of this emotional energy and physical energy and pain and stuff on it. So whenever he erases all of this, he line charges. He'll laugh and laugh, or he'll cry and laugh, and then laugh some more and cry some more. Sometimes this can go on for days. But all of it is bringing back the life force that was stuck in these unconscious pictures. Now, the reason that a person goes unconscious basically is because of the force that's contained in that incident. And it happens to him all at once. Now, let's say that the guy walks out in front of his little kid, and he walks out in front of the car, and the car goes bonk, and bounces him about 10 feet and knocks him out. Well, that's an Ingram. He's got a pain there, and he's got a big lump on his head, and probably a little blood, maybe some loose teeth or something. But he's got an Ingram. He lives through it all, and he goes on, and he forgets all about it. He don't know what happened, you know. And my parents told me that I walked in front of a car. He doesn't remember at all. Well, the reason that it was Ingram is because it happened to him all at once. It happened to him within a fraction of a second or a second. It happened very quickly. He just stepped out, bong, and he was out. That was it. Now, the pain can be handled by the analytical mind, but only at a speed that it wants to handle it. So this thing took him 1 second. Let's say this Ingram took him 1 second to get. Now, you go back, and you finally find this Ingram, and you have him tell you about it. And he goes, yeah, well, I was standing on the curb, and I walked out there, and then next thing I knew, I woke up in the hospital. And ask him again, and then go through it again, tell me what it was. He says, well, you know, and on a curb, I was on my bicycle. I remember my red bicycle. And I looked the other way, and I pushed out, and I woke up in the hospital. Okay, fine. Well, why don't you tell me it again? You know, yeah, you know, I was on my red bicycle, and I went out, and I saw this car, and I heard somebody scream, oh, no. And then I woke up in the hospital. And he goes through it again, and now he feels, sees the car coming, then he hears the crunch, then he feels the actual pain of the car hitting, and then maybe he feels the scraping of the sidewalk, and then he feels the blood on his head, and he goes through, every time he goes through this incident, he gets a little more out of it, and a little more out of it, and a little more out of it, and a little more out of it. Now, keep in mind, this happened in 1 second, but time an auditor goes over it with a guy, maybe he's went through it 15, 20, 30 times. Every time he went through it, he recovered a little more of the data. He took a little bit of the data out of the reactive mind and filed it in the analytical mind, where it should be filed in the first place. So that's how the traumatic incident of the Ingram is reduced. It's just simply by going over the incident slowly, where the analytical mind can look at it and file the data. And the opposite to that is just giving him a whole bunch of data all at once, bonk, and knocking him out. So that's the main reason that auditing works, or not the main reason, but the way that Dianetics works is because you go back and you find whatever part of that incident you can find. You go through it, you erase it a little bit, you go through it again, and you'll find his pictures change more and more and more. Sometimes the guy will say, oh yeah, I watched somebody beat up somebody else, and you go through it again, and well, I think I was beating him up, and you go through it again, and well, you know, I don't know, I think maybe I was beat up, and you go through it, sure enough, he wasn't even watching at all, he was an innocent victim, he was standing there, somebody came along and conked him on his head and took his watch or something like that, but in the meantime, he was out of the body, and he decided that it was all his fault or something like that, and he got this other picture. So very, very seldom, whenever the person looks at the incident, is it ever what he thought it was. It's always something a little different. He didn't quite see it the way it was. It was never exactly the same. And the more he goes through this incident, he starts getting the data out of it, start filing it in the analytical mind and taking it out of the reactive mind, and eventually the Ingram disappears, and then the rest of it disappears right along with it. Now, whenever you audit this, one of the unusual things that you will run across, or not really unusual, but it's actually very usual, and that's the postulate that is in the incident itself. In other words, the decisions that the person made. Now, once you start removing the data from the incident, or actually erasing it and refiling it back in the analytical mind, once all of the force is gone, you're going to wind up with the significance. Now, the significance is a postulate. It's some kind of decision the person made. They go through the Ingram, they get it erased, and then there will be a decision setting there. And maybe say, well, I'm never going to do that again, or from now on I will blah, 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 or never trust so-and-so. Never trust yourself is a good one. I can't trust myself, so I won't pay anything. I'll never take my own advice again. That's a nasty one. But anyway, these different things will sit there in these Ingrams. These postures will sit there. They are what's holding the whole thing in place. And then from then on, after that, the person is going to respond to his own decision. His own decision is what's going to affect him from then on out.